You're listening to the Growing Up Rock Podcast with your host, Stephen Michael, and Sonny Hollywood Pruney.
All right, people, 2018 is in the books, and it was a great music year. Stephen, you with me?
Completely, totally, utterly. One more year, I would say down the drain, but it's actually not down the drain, just in the books.
Yeah, it was a great year all the way around. Everybody's happy and healthy in the families, and life is good.
Yeah, and 2019, looking forward to the Monsters of Rock cruise. So that's something that we can look forward to. Also, the Kiss End of the Road tour.
Yeah, 2019 is going to bring, you know, there's going to be a Dallas Cowboys championship. You guys just don't know it yet.
Yeah, that shit's not happening. That shit's not happening. All right, well, best of, another best of. This is our second best of since we've been a podcast?
Yeah, we did 2017. You know, some people agreed with us, some didn't. I'm sure we'll be the same this year.
Yeah, this year, though, we've found a little bit different way of doing things, and I kind of like it because I think the beautiful thing about the best of, first of all, everybody's going to do a best of list, whether it's magazines or websites or other podcasts. Everybody is going to do a best of list, and I love best of list because every year, I always look to other podcasts, other publications, other magazines, because I like to see what their best of is, because every year I see stuff that I've never heard of that I go and check out and I end up loving. Or I go and I go, well, I didn't think too much of that, but this is on five people's list. Let me go back and listen to it. You know what? This is a great record. How did I not like this the first time around? So I love the best of list.
Yeah, I do something similar. Just because five people got on the list, I just think those five people are stupid. No, I'm kidding. What I'll do is, you know, because let's say Decibel Geek releases something, they release a top 10. My music taste is more Chris than it is Aaron. Aaron likes different stuff than I do, really. Or like if the CGCM guys, both Rich and Wally, do a top 10, Wally's more closer to my musical taste than Rich is. And I just know that because I listen to all their podcasts. So if they have something on their list that I missed, I'm like, I definitely have to check that out. Rich's is usually pretty good too. Rich, I don't know where he gets some of his stuff. I'm trying to figure that out still. But there's just so much great music out there. You can't possibly consume it all.
Well, here's the thing, and I want to make this perfectly clear at the top of this episode. First of all, it's going to be a two-part episode as it was last year. We just can't fit everything into one single episode. So part one, part two, this show is completely selfish. And I mean that from a point of we're basically putting in our top 10. We're not paid by bands. We're not friends with the artist. We don't make money from it. We're putting in our top 10 stuff that we absolutely love. Whether you love it or not, whether our friends love it or not, really doesn't matter to me. It's all about us on this episode. It really is. We want to hear everybody's top 10s. Like, go out there on the Facebook page, share with us your top 10s. But this episode is completely about us reflecting on the albums that we enjoyed the most in 2018. Needless to say, everybody's going to have different opinions, and I have no doubt in my mind that we missed out on some bands out there that people are absolutely loving.
Yeah, and I get the music from a bunch of different ways, right? So there'll be bands that I like and have always liked that are releasing music. Obviously, they get a chance. I'm not, just because one of my favorite bands released something or a favorite artist released something, I'm just not automatically, oh, that's the best thing since sliced bread, which you will find later in the episodes when I get killed. But it almost has to be a little bit lucky too. So I'll be listening to another podcast. They play a song. I'm like, what song is that? And okay, what album is that? When did that come out? And that might put me down the rabbit hole to go check out that album. And then, so what I kind of did was this year is like, if there's any album that I liked and I listened to more than once, it ended up in a different part of my phone. So when I go do my top 10, it's actually albums I listened to more than once. That's kind of the approach I took.
Yeah, for sure. It's all about just records that I was able to spend some time with, records that I listened to several times, because I just don't consume music the same way I used to when I was a kid. I have much less time to sit and listen to an album from front to back. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of playlists are made and things like that. And so it's hard for me to give, you know, a complete opinion on a record from start to finish without really spending some time with it. But I've done a lot of that this past couple of weeks and discovered, you know, that I liked some things I didn't think I liked as much, and discovered some things that were completely new to me. And I tried to stay away from, you know, the social media and people posting things out there, because I didn't want to be influenced too much in one way or another as to what people's favorite records were, et cetera, et cetera. I just didn't want to, you know, get too influenced one way or another with that. But before we get into all this, and we'll explain how these episodes are going to go and how we're going to lay things out, if you're digging the podcast, then share your rock and roll story with us. Miss Samantha, take it away.
Everyone's got a rock and roll story to tell, and we want to hear yours. So go to our website at growinguprock.com. That's one word. GROWINUPROCK.com, or visit us on our Facebook page at Growing Up Rock and tell us all about it.
All right, so we're going to skip the grown-ups of the week this week, and next we're also going to skip the Crank It Up New Music Spotlight, because hey, we're spotlighting all kinds of new music on these two episodes, as well as the historic moment. We're going to do a strictly straight ahead best of 2018. And in part one, we are going to go through our top 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 records. Correct, Mr. Hollywood?
That is correct. And I thought you had a great idea this year. We're going to do like deeper bands. So we're going to share our top 10 mainstream acts, and, you know, however you want to label mainstream, the way I've labeled mainstream is bands you would definitely know and possibly could sell out a theater if they came into your city. So we're going to share those. Then the top 10 that we actually share is going to be more deep, maybe bands you've never heard of before that put out some great music, to shine a light on some of those bands.
Yeah, that's right. Because when we first started talking about this year's best of 2018, I think it goes without saying that Judas Priest Firepower is going to be on the majority of people's list. Where it ends up on the list, you know, that's open to people's opinions, but I think it's going to be there. And so does everybody need to go, hey, my top 10 is Judas Priest, is this? You know, so we want it to have a top 10 mainstream, like Sonny said, and Priest is a band that would absolutely fall on a mainstream list. Everybody knows who Judas Priest is, Iron Maiden, etc., whatever. But then we want to have this deeper, newer bands, or bands that maybe I don't consider in the mainstream. If I'm just hearing about them for the first time, they're not mainstream to me. So that's kind of how I approached it. Sonny had a little bit different criteria, and we may argue once or twice over what he considers mainstream and what I consider mainstream, but that's okay. That's why this show works. We have a little bit different, varied opinions. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to lay out our top 10 mainstream albums, and then 10, 9, 8, 7, and 6 in part one. We're also going to shoot the shit and talk a little bit about some concerts that we might have saw this year, some TV shows, some movies, some other shit that was going on in 2018. Does that all sound about right?
That sounds good. So you want to start with, how about you share your top 10 mainstream on this episode, and I'll share it on the next one.
Okay, I will do that. That sounds good to me. So my top 10 mainstream albums are as follows. At the number 10 slot, a band that everybody knows, Saxon and Thunderbolt. I liked Thunderbolt. I just didn't like it as much as I liked the last record. I thought the last record was a little bit better. Thunderbolt was all right. It's a good record. Just didn't hit in the same place for me as last record. A surprise record at number 9 is Dee Snider's For the Love of Metal. This record is fantastic from start to finish. I mean, this is a really solid heavy metal record, not even hard rock. This is a heavy metal record. Make no mistake about it. I think it's better, in my personal opinion, I think it's even better than like some of the Widowmaker stuff that he was doing early on. So I really like this record. This record hit the number 9 slot for me. Here's another surprise. I've spent a little bit of time since this has come out, and I think it's been out a little less than 2 months now, maybe a little bit longer, but I've spent the last couple, 2 months with it or so, is Stephen Pearcy's solo record, A View to a Kill. Now, to me, this record essentially sounds like a new Rat record. I mean, I know Stephen Pearcy for the mess that he is, all the stuff that's going on with him on stage, all the crap with Rat. All this crap is, I just try to drown all that out. And he's been all over the place with some of the solo stuff he's done. But this record, A View to a Kill, from start to finish, is pretty much a new Rat record, in my opinion. It sounds good. And I don't know what's going on with the old James Bond thing, A View to a Kill, and the first two songs on there are like James Bond titles, like Skyfallen, I think, is the second track. And the only Live Twice or You Only Die Twice, the first track on there. So I don't know, it's got a whole James Bond theme to it, but it's a really solid rock record. And so if you're a fan of Rat, I would think that you would enjoy this Stephen Pearcy solo record. At number 7, Slash's new one, Living the Dream. How this guy finds time to write and put together a record when he's torn stadiums with Guns N' Roses for the past 2 or 3 years, however long it's been that he's been on the road with Guns N' Roses. But this, again, is another solid outing from Slash and Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. To me, not quite as good as the first two. There's maybe 2 or 3 slower tracks on it that kind of drag on to me, and that's kind of why it ended up in the number 7 slot for me. But still, solid rock record, some good shit on it. Number 6, Greta Van Fleet, Anthem of the Peaceful Army. I don't care whether they sound like Led Zeppelin. It's good music. It's good rock and roll. Get it through your heads. Let it go, people. If you like Led Zeppelin, you should like this record. If you don't like Led Zeppelin, then enough said. Don't buy this record. You won't like it. But all this comparison shit and all this crap, let it go. Get over it. It's old news. They're not doing, you know, Whole Lot of Love Part 2. They're not doing Dazed and Confused Part 2 or Stairway to Heaven Part 2. They're doing their own thing, their own music. The kid just sounds amazingly like Robert Plant. The music, the vibe sounds amazingly like Zeppelin, but it's good. Go listen to this record. So layered, so textured, so much good tunes on this record. Check it out. Number 5, The Struts, Young and Dangerous. This is just a fun record. Period, end of story. Catchy, hooky. Is it a hard rock or a metal record? Nah, not really. It really isn't. But again, I'll tell you, this episode is all about what I like and what Sonny likes. Right? And so the Struts' Young and Dangerous is a record that makes me smile. I saw them about a month and a half, 2 months ago. Great live band. I'm going to see them again Tuesday night. So check it out. If you're into poppy, hooky, rock and roll, then the Struts are your band. Number four, Hailstorm, Vicious. I know my partner in crime, Hollywood Pooney, is a huge Hailstorm fan. And by way of Pooney, I've gotten myself a little into Hailstorm. I enjoy the last record quite a bit. This one, I don't think I've spent enough time with, but I enjoy it nonetheless. I think there's some good stuff on it. It's definitely a little bit different record than the last couple. So check out Hailstorm, Lizzie Hale, a very talented individual. So Hailstorm, Vicious at number four. Number three, Stryper, Goddamn Evil. Damn, Stryper brings it still to this day. I saw him live this year. Great show. This is a solid record from front to back. Still putting out great music, and in my opinion, probably putting out the best music of their careers. Not to say that, you know, the classics like To Hell with the Devil and, you know, Soldiers Under Command are bad or not as good as Goddamn Evil, but Goddamn Evil is just a good, solid record. Number two, a personal favorite band of mine, the Dead Daisies. Burn It Down. Dead Daisies, to me, are a mainstream band because for all intents and purposes, they are a super group. And they're on, like what, their fourth or fifth record. So it's not like they're putting out their first record. This is why they're on my mainstream band. Yes, a lot of people probably still have not discovered the Dead Daisies, which I would say, get from underneath your rock and go find the Dead Daisies because they're a fantastic band, solid records. Burn It Down is no exception. Love that record. Couple of tracks on it might drag on for me a little bit. I can do without the cover tune on every record, but I don't hate it. So solid, solid record. And at number one, no big surprise here. The record that, bar none, I have spent the most amount of time listening to this year from front to back. Not a bad song on it. Judas Priest, Firepower. Amazing, amazing, amazing record. So that's it. That's my top 10, dude.
All right. So let me give you my quick. Saxon, whatever. Dee Snider, good. Stephen Piercy, Leave a View to a Kill to Duran Duran. Slash, great. Greta Van Fleet's very interesting because people got a problem. They sound like Led Zeppelin, but Classic 78 sounds like Kiss, and nobody's got a problem with it. So I don't know why people got a problem with that. The Struts is a good album. Hailstorm absolutely rocks. Stryper rocks. Dead Daisies rocks. Judas Priest rocks.
All right. Thanks for your 2 cents.
That's exactly what it's worth.
Thanks for your bucko five there, Hollywood. All right. So there you go. That's my top 10 for what it's worth. And really, it means nothing to nobody but myself. And probably my top 10 is there's going to be a lot of stuff on it that's on other people's top 10, but that's fine because that's not the main focus of this episode. Now, is it there, Hollywood?
No, it is not. So let's get to the topic.
All right, for our best of 2018 part one, we are going to start it off with Sonny Hollywood Pooney's number 10 pick. What you got for us, Sonny?
Now, this is going to be interesting because when we go through our top 10, we may not agree or like each other's music, but that's okay. All right, so my number 10 is a band called Sunstorm. And this is actually a band that's been around for about 12 years. I have everything that they've done. Jolynn Turner is the driving force in this band. They've been through a bunch of lineup changes. But I will tell you, Jolynn Turner's voice is as good as it always was. No matter whether he's doing solo, Rainbow, Deep Purple, Yngwie, I mean, he has not lost it. And I think we can safely say that maybe some of his peers that are old as he is maybe don't sound the same as they did 20 years ago, but Joe still sounds great. The songs themselves, they got hooks, they got catchy choruses. You pair that with some great guitar riffs, and this stuff is honestly almost radio-friendly. You got Jolene Turner on lead vocals, some guy named Nick Mazzucconi on bass guitar, Simone Mularoni on lead guitar, Alessandro Del Vecchio on keyboards, which is a Frontier Records darling, and Ido Salo on drums. It was on the Frontier's label, got released in June. They're labeled as an American project. I don't know those names, how American they are. The production is awesome, so check out this melodic rock, radio-friendly masterpiece. It's a third track on an album called The Road to Hell, songs called On the Edge.
So this is a new band that I did not know anything about when they were on your list. I never heard of them, to be honest. So I went out and listened to the song that you had picked out. and yet definitely radio friendly. I don't know. It's not really necessarily my thing. I can't pinpoint anything. It wasn't bad. It just didn't necessarily hit home for me. Yeah, rock and roll, solid rock and roll. So I don't have anything one way or another to say about it, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, and all the Sunstorm albums are like that. And honestly, Jolene Turner's solo albums are very much like that. They're not as hard or as neoclassical as like the Malmsteen stuff. It's definitely more AOR. It's a harder journey.
Yeah, so if you're wanting to check out one record from this band, do you have one that you can suggest?
I would actually start with the newest record.
Okay.
The older records, they're not produced as well as this one is, so you may just go, oh, that's just stuff you hear. This is, The Road to Hell is the one that's produced the best.
Okay. All right, so time for my number 10. And anybody that's listened to this podcast or even other podcasts that I've been a part of, understand that I am a big fan of this band whose name that I continuously pronounce wrong. And for God's sakes, I'm so sorry. From Australia, Coritini? I don't know. K-O-R-I-T-N-I.
I thought it was Courtney.
I don't know. The dude's name is Lex Courtney. And whoever lives in Australia, maybe you know this band, maybe you know this dude. Phonetically spell it out on our website for me so I have it, because I don't know how to say it. And the bottom line is I'm a fan of this band because they continuously put out great records. And 2018 saw the release of Rolling. And so I listened to this record front to back several times. I enjoy it. They're a very bluesy-based rock and roll band. Go figure, coming from Australia. I don't know that this record stands up to their first two records that I love quite a bit. They released one the year before last was the last release, if I'm not mistaken. It was a pretty solid record. This record's solid. It's just not quite as good as the first two, but I enjoy it as well. A little bit more acoustic stuff on that on this record. Not necessarily acoustic ballad, but more like acoustic up-tempo, if that makes sense. The song I chose is absolutely not acoustic. So this is a song called Life Away from Rolling.
Yeah, we've played them before. That's a great song.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot they were Australian. I need to check them out a little more.
Yeah, because I think you enjoy this guy's voice. He really sings well. And the first, you know, if you're not a fan of this band or never heard of this band before, I would encourage you to go pick up either of the first two records. They're fantastic. So if you like just meat and potatoes, rock and roll, bluesy based, at times a little bit AC/DC-ish, but not very much. It's spelled K-O-R-I-T-N-I, Quartini. But anyway, that's it. Number 10 for me.
All right. So my number 9. So this is honestly a surprising one for me because normally stuff like this, it takes me a while to warm up to. But for some reason, this band connected with me almost instantly. And the band is called Lords of the Black. Never heard of them before. I don't remember who told me to check out this album. At times, I'll get people on either Facebook or Twitter that says, hey, you might want to check out this song. At times, it's from another podcast. At times, it's my partner in crime here says, hey, try this out. So I don't remember where this came from. But Lords of the Black, Spanish power metal, formed in Madrid in 2014. The band members, Ronnie Romero, lead vocals, Tony Hernando on guitars, Andy C. on drums, piano, and keyboard, and then Daniel Criado on bass. The songs sound, I would say, take a blender, throw Yngwie Malmsteen, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, and a symphonic metal band of your choice, and blend until gooey, and that's kind of what you get out of Lords of the Black. And big riffs, Ronnie's got a solid metal voice, released in 2018 from Frontiers, off an album called Icons of the New Days. This is a crazy rocker called Forevermore.
We'll be right back.
right. So yet another new band that I had never heard of. So you definitely didn't get this from me because I've never heard of them. you know, my opinion with this band was much like Sunstorm, which is, you know, I can take it or leave it. It wasn't anything that was right down my alley of love, but there was also nothing that I could pinpoint that I was like, this is freaking awful. So it was neither. It was just kind of down the middle for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you know, especially there's so much new music. So it's like, is there days I would have connected with Lords of the Black and days that felt different than I wouldn't have? Probably. So that's where I'm talking about. There's almost this luck and timing, because reality is we don't have record companies kind of force feeding us what we should be listening to. So it's just coming from so many different sides. So you don't always connect.
Yeah, agreed. And I think everybody's ears has a sweet zone. You know what I mean? Like, I think we know what we like in our music, and maybe we don't know how to verbally communicate that, but we know it when we hear it. Does that make sense?
Totally agree.
Yeah. So
yeah, I can verbalize some of it, right? If it's melody and a great guitar riff, great backing vocals, hey, you got me. If it's radio friendly, I'm in one step closer. If it sounds like Lizzie Hale, you got me one step closer. If it's got a Maiden feel, you got me one step close. Like, but there's definitely a chemistry to it.
Yeah, I mean, because I can say I like a good melody and a big fat kick drum, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to love the song. So sometimes that's what I mean when it's hard to kind of verbally say. I can only listen to it and I either like it or I don't. There's bands I hear all the time that people love that I'm like, why do I not like this? But I don't like it. You know, who knows? I don't know. But anyway, let me get on to my number 9. So I grew up an Accept fan, old school Accept, Breaker, Balls to the Wall, Restless and Wild, Metal Heart. Those are my Accept records. I love that Accept. And so Udo, I didn't know a whole lot about the Udo Records, the Udo group. He's going to be on the Monsters of Rock cruise, so I wanted to seek it out. He put out a new record called Steel Factory in 2018. And I just honestly, he's had several records out, but I've never really dug into it for whatever reason. And I was a big Accept fan, so I can't explain it. But with the fact that he was going to be on next year's Monsters of Rock cruise, with the fact that he had been just recently did this tour where he was playing all the old Accept, and coupled with the fact that he just released this new record, Steel Factory, I said, okay, I'm going to go listen to this, give this a listen. And thanks to my streaming service, which is new to me this year, it allows me to do that with the quickness. I can pull it up at the spur of the moment. So that's what I did. I pulled up Steel Factory. I started listening to it, and it started with a single song that was on my Spotify playlist, because Spotify, the one thing Spotify does is they do a really great job of figuring out what your tastes are and picking stuff for you that you should like. And that's exactly what they did. This song showed up on one of my playlists that they had picked out for me. I played it. I loved it. And so I went and checked out the record, and I loved the record from start to finish. Sounds like old school Accept. Balls to the Wall, Restless and Wild, right in that zone. And that's fantastic for me. So I'm going to play a song off of Steel Factory called Make the Move.
I'm
All right. So before I say my comments, let me say two quick things. I love you, Stephen Michael. I love you, Stephen Michael. And I also love you, Christopher Williams. So I don't want to say anything bad about except him and have you feel bad about it. All right. Now that that is said, there were some songs that are on Steve's top 10 list that I had not heard before. So I went and took a listen. I listened to them all the way through. Most I liked. I could not even get through the song. I absolutely cannot stand Udo's voice. I can't handle it. I got through about a minute and a half. I'm like, I'm done. I can't do it anymore.
You know, and this was one of the songs that I picked, and I almost knew, like, when I picked this, I'm like, Sonny's not, because I knew Sonny wasn't a huge fan of Accept in general, and then I knew that he was not a big fan of Udo's, so I knew when I picked this song, I was like, Sonny's going to hate this. But I don't know, it's interesting because it's not necessarily that Udo has a growl to his voice, because you like some singers with a growl to their voice, but I think you tend to gravitate more towards the cleaner upper register guys.
Yeah, and I just never got into Accept.
Yeah.
So Udo will forever be connected to that, and his voice just never did it for me. And that, you want me to turn off the music and never listen to it again, vocal is the quickest way to do it. I can put up with a bad guitarist, or you can't hear the drums, or there's no bass, or whatever, or stupid lyrics. I mean, I listen to Kiss, so of course I like stupid lyrics. But the vocal, if the vocal's bad, I can't hear anymore.
So needless to say, I'll be attending Udo on the Monsters of Rock cruise with Rich Dillon.
That's right. I'll be in the casino waiting for you guys.
It's all good. It's all right.
All right. So one of the things we did in 2017's episode that we wanted to do in 2018's episode is talk about some other things. So what was one of – you saw a ton of concerts this year. Yes. What was one of your favorites this year?
I saw that this question was coming up, and I was like, dude, do you know what I do part-time for a living? I see concerts for a living. So I saw a buttload of concerts, and I can't even tell you, you know, sometimes they run together and I'm like, did I see that this year, or has it actually been a year or 2 years, you know? And I can't really remember, but just recently my wife and I went and saw the Struts, and I thought they were really good. We saw them in a really nice theater, small theater, and I thought they were really good. I think this is where it's running together. It was last year that I saw Greta Van Fleet in a small place. So I don't think I saw them this year. So that wasn't one of them. What else did I see this year that I thought was really, really good? You know, there were concerts that I saw that are solid every year. Like, I almost see Foreigner every year, and Foreigner every year is just solid. Solid show. And then they had Whitesnake and Cheap Trick on the bill with them. So that was a good concert that I saw. Styx, Joan Jett, and Tesla was surprisingly a fantastic show. And the reason I say surprisingly, I didn't mean it to sound like that, but that was a favorite of mine because of everything that happened to us at that show. So my wife and myself and my wife's friend from work went to this show. And it was at a venue that I normally work at. So I was able to get sort of a special treatment for myself and my wife and our friend. And they moved us down. And then right before the Styx encore, they took us down and put us on the barrier of the, like, literally 2 feet in front of Tommy Shaw. And it was fantastic. So we saw the encore from, like, on stage almost. And so it was just a great experience. On top of that, we got 2 free bottles of wine. So needless to say, I was feeling really, really good about myself at this point. So that was a special memory and a special concert that I took part in and saw. So that's what that just off the top of my head. I'm sure I saw a lot more that I enjoyed, but that was some of the stuff that was out front for me. How about you?
Yeah, for me, in a year where I didn't see as many concerts this year, that won't be true in 2019 because we'll see 30 or 40 on the ship alone. But in a year where I saw Greta Van Fleet, I saw Warren three times, YNT, saw Firehouse, saw Rival Sons, Kip Winger, and a bunch of others, one of my faves was Masked Intruder on Halloween. Oh my God. That club in Madison with this basically punk pop band, and I'm getting chills telling you, that was an amazing show. I have not seen a show like that in a long time. They were crazy.
I heard you give the review of this show on Jody's podcast, The Dummy Room, and I could tell how excited you were about that. And you know, Masked Intruder is coming around Atlanta, opening up for somebody. They're not headlining, but they're opening up for somebody. And your review of the show made me consider just trying to seek this show out just to see Masked Intruder.
So you will not be disappointed. If they were playing, they could play here every week. I'm there. Yeah. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah. So I might have to check them out. You know, one thing that both you and I both left off, and it was a pretty special time, and I think we both enjoyed it, was the Kulik brothers at the Indie Kiss Expo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about the expo stuff. See, we've seen so much stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The cool. Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
I mean, we had a good time at the Indie Expo, all the podcast Rock City people and Ages of Rock people and Grown Up Rock people. We all went to the Indie Expo, and you know, there were a bunch of good shows there at that. The Kulik Brothers and Ace and Four by Fate, and so there was some
Lita.
There were some good performances at that show that we enjoyed quite a bit. And just being there and being able to hang out and see all that at the same time while we hung out, that was a pretty special weekend.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so let's get to my number eight. So third Frontier Records in a row. I swear not all 10 of mine are from Frontier, but Serafino's got this thing where you put a couple of guys together and then there's this formula that happens. And a band called Nordic Union just released their second album in November. They just released it a little while ago, called Second Coming. Now, Nordic Union is the frontman for Pretty Maids, a guy named Ronnie Atkins, the vocalist. And, you know, Pretty Maids themselves, they released 15 studio albums, been around since the early 80s. And then the guitar player is none other than Eric Martinson, who's involved in 85 other things. And if you remember Eric, he's from Eclipse. We talked to him on episode 65. So if you don't know a ton about Eclipse, they've got six studio albums. And, you know, Eric is just a great singer, a great songwriter. So check out episode 65. This band, Nordic Union, they'll never tour. You know, these guys are too busy with their other stuff to really tour anything. Production is outstanding. It's a mix of ballads, rockers, very diverse. The guitar riffs are amazing. This is European melodic rock at its best. Feels like arena rock when you listen to this song. It's the opening track, and it's called My Fear and My Faith.
We'll be right back.
Yep. So Nordic Union is a fairly new band to me. I discovered them last year through Sonny. I think we played them on another episode. And of course, I'm a huge Eric Martinson and Eclipse fan. And when we talked to Eric back on episode 65, he was just putting the finishing touches on this record, which Sonny talked about the production. They recorded this record at Eric's home studio. So he has a real proper home studio, not just, you know, a four track in his bedroom. He has the real deal studio at his home, and he puts some really, really nice production touches on not only the Eclipse stuff, but stuff like this Nordic Union as well. So cheers. Yeah, Nordic Union, I like it. I don't like it as much as I like Eclipse, but I like it.
Cool.
All right, on to my number 8. Okay, so I've got two all-female bands on my tops. And the first one falls in at number 8. And oddly enough, I discovered the Amorettes from somebody else's top 10 of, like, I want to say 2016, maybe 2 years ago, I think it was. They had put out a new record a few years back, and it landed on somebody else's top 10. I have no idea who, but that's where I first heard of them. And just like I told you guys, I like to go check out everybody else's top 10s because I always discover stuff that I missed. And I loved it. And so I've kept up with them for the past couple years. They put out a new record this year called Born to Break. And they're just a good, solid, hard rock and roll band. A little bit of punk influence on some of their older stuff. And I'm not sure this is my favorite record by them, but you can absolutely tell they're kind of getting more solid as a band and understanding exactly what it is they want to be. And so for that, I respect it. And it's a good, solid rock record. There's nothing wrong with it at all. The name of the record is called Born to Break, and I'm going to play a song that just puts a smile on my face. This is a song called You've Still Got Rock and Roll.
Heading in the wrong direction. Turn it round, turn it up to 11. Take it home.
All right, so this is one of the bands I didn't know anything about. They definitely got a little bit of a punk attitude to them, which is not all bad. I like the all-female bands. I don't have anything against that. Just the chorus is a little dry. Like, the vocal is kind of, it's not very dynamic. She's got a good voice, but she kind of stays in that pocket the whole way, where some of the other bands that we're going to talk about, just the vocal's a little more dynamic. But it's good stuff.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. So my number seven. So I don't know. Okay, you're going to have to remind me. Was it you or Steve Wright that turned us on to Stryker?
Well, I'd heard about them before Steve Wright, but I don't know that you actually heard about them till Steve Wright wanted to play a song on the episode, the trivia episode that we did. So he wanted to bust out a tune on Crank It Up Spotlight, which we played on the trivia episode. So just a roundabout way. But I think probably you got wind of them from Steve.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about this band called Stryker, Canadian band. They just released their sixth album in October. And three of these, I guess they've released independently. So I'm not sure if they have their own record label. So I think that's why they're releasing them independently. The music to me has kind of got like a Triumph feel, Loverboy with a little more punch. Absolutely outstanding vocalist. Guy's name is Dan Cleary. And I got to get everything Stryker, because I'm going to tell you the song I'm playing for you, I think, is probably one of the best songs in 2018. The label's called Record Breaking Records. The album's called Play to Win. Check this song out. It's called On the Run. And I'm telling you, it's awesome.
Time.
right. So I'm definitely on the Striker train as well. Now, Sonny's comparison, those were a little bit off to me. I don't know that I agree with his comparison because Striker and Loverboy to me don't go together in any way, shape, or form. But Striker to me is pretty heavy. I mean, they do have a lot of melodic qualities, and some of their songs definitely greatly differ from each other in terms of like really heavy versus, okay, this has a little bit of a more melodic edge to it. But yeah, I love Striker. Song On the Run is a great song. Enjoy it. It's not my favorite on the record, but definitely a good solid rock record, this play to win record. So on to my number seven. My number seven comes from a new super band. I guess you could call them a super group, but they put out their first record this year on Frontiers, and the band is Dream Child. Craig Goldie, Rudy Sarzo, just a fantastic, fantastic record from start to finish called Until Death We Meet Again. We interviewed Craig Goldie way back several episodes ago. He gave us a really nice, long, like career 2-hour interview that was really a fun listen. So if you haven't listened to that, go check that one out. But this record is just a solid record. If you're a fan of Rainbow, Deep Purple, Dio, then you're going to love this record. The song I picked is a song called Midnight Song. So check it out.
Love.
Yeah, this album just missed my top 10. I really like this album. They got a video for this song too. Vocals are awesome. I don't know how well they're marketing this stuff. I wish they would market it a little better because it's pretty good stuff.
Very much so. And this is another one bought to you by Frontiers Record.
Yeah, they release a lot of good stuff. What are you going to do?
That's it.
All right. So let's talk TV shows. I watch a ton of TV. I don't think you watch a ton of TV, but I watch a ton of TV. And there's some great TV shows out there that have been out a while, like, you know, Lethal Weapon or Arrow or, you know, I love Supergirl. So there's a bunch of Ray Donovan, right? But there's a new TV show this year, if you like sitcoms. It's called I Feel Bad, and it's the lead actress. Her name is Sareo Blue, and she's East Indian. And the whole show, and, you know, they're half-hour shows, and it's about she's a working mom. She's got a husband that also works. Her mom and dad live across the street. They're very they're Americanized, but they have a very East Indian attitude. And her kids are kind of growing up in this situation where she's not always around. So there's some funny things around it. So I like a lot of TV, really just to numb my mind from the day in, day out stuff that sometimes music doesn't do it for me, and it's TV that does. So do you watch a lot of TV?
I do. I watch a lot more like Netflix and Amazon Prime than I do anything, but there are shows that I watch pretty regularly. I watch Supergirl. I watch The Flash. We watch Criminal Minds. What else? You know, we watch some of the Survivor and The Voice and some things like that. But yeah, that's it. I mean, we DVR everything, so we don't watch anything live. And, you know, there's a lot of Netflix stuff that I watch. So, yeah, there's just not enough time in the day to watch a ton of stuff. I end up probably more times than not just watching, like, South Park reruns. I love South Park. I'm sorry. South Park makes me laugh super hard. But
yeah, and I DVR everything, too, and then I binge on it. Like, I haven't watched any of this season for Arrow.
Yeah.
So tomorrow I will binge all 8 or 9 episodes all at once.
Yeah. There's a couple of good things that have come out on Netflix, like what is it? The Haunting of Hill House or whatever. That's been pretty good. And then I started watching Making of a Murderer, which has been interesting. Just a couple things like that. I just finish up Ozark. I finished up the last season of Ozark, which I love.
Oh, I love that. That was awesome.
Yeah. Just different things like that, but that's pretty much it.
All right, cool. Okay, so my number 6 and final pick for this part 1 episode is not from Frontiers Records. It's from Rat Pack Records, and it's a band called Roxanne. So here's kind of the story. This band releases an album in 88. They wait to release their second album 30 years later. So, like, when I first heard it, I immediately dismissed this record. I'm like, forget it. I don't even want to hear it. This is people that can't let it go. Man, was I wrong. And I remember the original record. These guys are an LA band. They had two original songs in 88 that were on rock radio called Cherry Bay and Sweet Maria. They didn't do that well, but they did this cover of Wild Cherries' Play That Funky Music, and it actually hit Billboard. But the problem is it's late 88, and they're doing cover tunes of songs that were 10, 15 years earlier. And they were on Scotty Brothers, who had Survivor and didn't really know how to deal with a hard rock band. So they kind of fizzled almost as quickly as they started. Jamie Brown, who's the vocalist and guitar player, amazing guy. John Butler guitar, Joe Infante on bass, Dave Landry on drums. These guys must be fans of KXM because George Lynch does some stuff in this. Pinnock does some stuff in this. So the song that I'm going to pick for you is from the album called Radio Silence. And this is what I'm going to tell you. So if you don't like my pick so far, you don't like ballads, you don't like Jeff Scott Soto, you don't like Kotzen, you don't like my voice, you think I'm too fat? Well, Jamie and Doug got a message for you. Listen to this. Yeah.
yourself.
And that's going to put the explicit sticker on our podcast for tonight. All righty then. Thanks for that, Sonny Pooney.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm going to end my final number six pick for this episode. So we're giving a lot of love to this band. Must be worth checking out. You heard them back at number seven on Sonny's list. Striker from Play to Win. I have put them in at number six on my list. So from Striker's Play to Win, here's a song called Position of Power.
Feel alive.
Yeah, they rock. That's the every song on that album is so good. So good. All right. So one of the other things, just like Steven did at the top of the show, he shared his top 10 mainstream bands. We also wanted to share, each of us, five albums that came out that we wish we would have connected with better. These are albums that maybe we were looking forward to, that it's like, okay, yes, there's a new album coming out by so-and-so band. Because I always say XYZ, but XYZ is back, so I got to stop saying XYZ band. By so-and-so band. And we go to listen to it a couple of times, and it's like, what is this? This isn't what I was looking forward to, and we wish we would have connected better. So I'm going to share the five that I had on my list, and Steven will share his on the next episode. So number five of the five albums that did not connect with me is Stone Temple Pilots. New album called Stone Temple Pilots. And here's what it is for me. When the grunge movement came, I loved Alice in Chains. I loved Stone Temple Pilots. Loved Soundgarden. I could not get into Pearl Jam. I couldn't get into Nirvana. There was something about Alice in Chains, STP, and Soundgarden that felt more 80s, felt it grew from 80s metal and not into what Nirvana was doing. Alice in Chains has found their groove back. Stone Temple Pilots, there is something missing, and it's just not the classic sound. And I guess I got to stop looking for that classic sound, because that classic sound has passed away. And the new singer's great, and the album's got some good songs on it. It just, I couldn't connect with it because it's not the classic sound. Number four for me, and I know people absolutely love this album. And Baco, I know you tried, because you had a great interview with Jakey Lee. And I know my partner in crime has told me he loves this record. I cannot connect to Red Dragon Cartel's new record, Patina. I tried. I listened four or five times. I don't get it why. Havana's okay. But besides that, there's just some melody misses that I just do not connect with. I love Jakey Lee. I didn't expect it to be Bark at the Moon by any means. I didn't expect it to be Badlands. I don't know what I was expecting, but what I got, I just didn't connect with. Number three for me, and I know I'm going to hear it from both Vinnie Folletti and Peter Cessari, and guys, I love you, but I'm sorry. Ghost prequel, I just couldn't connect with, and they did it to me again, and I'm pissed off at Ghost now, because they released Rats as the first single. I was 1,000% into the song. I must have listened to that song 50 times that first couple of days, because I was so into it, and I couldn't stop watching the video. And I'm like, I had my wife watch the video. She's all, that's creepy. And I had my kids watch the video, trying to get them into this thing, because it was so cool. And then Dance Macabre came out next. I'm like, all right, okay, we got a winner. There was not another song I liked on that album. And I'm like, damn it. They did it to me again, because I got the whole Ghost catalog, because they keep releasing songs I like, and then the rest of the album doesn't sound like that. Ugh, damn it, Ghost. All right, number two, one of my favorite bands of the 90s is Disturbed. And Disturbed released Evolution this year. And I will tell you that my Disturbed, the Disturbed that I connect with, is the Disturbed that makes you want to punch somebody. The Disturbed that makes you want to get in this mood that you want to run through a wall. And there's four ballads on this new album. And The Sound of Silence is on the album again. So the only song I'd really super connect to was Are You Ready, which is the initial track. And they got me, because I bought, I downloaded the album. I bought it on vinyl too. I think I have it on vinyl maybe. Listen to the first track. I'm like, yeah, baby, this is good old classic Disturbed. And then it fell apart. And I'm like, damn it. And then, okay, before I tell you my number one, you could send all hate mail to Hollywood. You don't have a clue what the hell's going on at gmail.com. But my number one is Ace Frehley's Spaceman. And I know I'm getting daggers and people are crashing cars right now. And how dare I take a shot at a classic Kiss member? And but the guy said abracadabra in a song. Like, come on, Ace. Like, what are you doing? Right? And it's my own fault. I've been looking for 78 solo album since I heard the 78 solo album. The only thing that ever came close was probably 89. And that, you know, it was Trouble Walking was probably the closest I think he got to it. you know, every time Ace releases out, oh, yeah, this is just like 78. This is nothing like 78. And some of the songs are just bad. The best song on it probably is Bronx Boy to me. And got Kiss fans, I'm sorry. I know I'm taking shots at Ace. I know Ace is supposed to get away with everything because he's Ace. I love Ace. He's my favorite Kiss member. This is not my favorite album. I'm sorry. Steven, what do you think about my five?
Just the fact that he says abracadabra, I don't understand what the problem with that. Maybe he feels like he's the magic man. I'm the magic man, abracadabra. Hey, you know, listen, we've said it before, we'll say it again. This is an episode totally about us. If it doesn't connect with you, it doesn't connect with you. And I'm not bashing any of these records, and I don't think you are either. They just don't connect with you. The Stone Temple Pilots, I listened to quite a bit when it came out. I don't think it's a bad record. I think it's a fairly solid record. Didn't make my top 10, and it's not a record that I didn't connect with. I don't know. I don't have a problem with that record. I think it's a solid rock record. I mean, they got a new singer. They took a long time off in between. They've had a lot of issues, and they still put out a pretty solid record to me, so I thought it was fine. Red Dragon Cartel, that's a record that's a grower, so the more I listen to it, the more I like it. Ghost Prequel. Yeah, I'm going to save my spewing of Ghost for my top five. So I'll talk a little bit about Ghost a little bit later on. Disturbed, I've never been a Disturbed fan, so I have no opinion on Evolution. I just don't like Disturbed all that much. Down with the Sickness, that's my extent of Disturbed. And Land of Confusion. And I like that Genesis Land of Confusion anyway. So there you go. Ace Frehley Spaceman. Yeah, you know, I tend to understand where you're coming from with this. And Ace is a hard individual to take because I don't think he's a particularly great singer. But hey, at least he's out there putting new music out. And so that's a good thing. And at least it wasn't a covers record. And I think that's a good thing as well. So that's the positives about it. And I'll leave it at that. Is that fair enough?
Fair enough, sir.
All right. Awesome. I escaped out of that. All Kiss fans will hate you and love me now.
Yeah.
Sweet. I'm the new co-host on Podcast Rock City.
Yeah, because those two don't know. I just put it on that list either. Wait till they hear this.
Yeah, probably so. All right. So it's all good. Well, okay. So that is the best of part one. That's a pretty good list. Hopefully you guys will share your tops with us on our Facebook page. Like I said, I listen to what everybody has to say because I discover new bands from people's top 10 list every year. So by all means, share, tell us you like some of our choices, hate some of our choices, don't, you know, have your own choices, whatever you want to do, it's fine. But again, this is a completely selfish list for me and for my partner in crime here, Hollywood. So that's all we got to say about that. What do you think there, Hollywood? Time for us to get out of here on part one?
Yeah, this episode's a little bit longer than part two probably will be, but, you know, we need to explain about what we were doing. So, guys, thanks for listening, and make sure you check out part two.
That's it. Part two coming at you next week. See ya.
Later.
Get ready to shuffle, rattle, and roll. Play us out, boys.
Kicking and screaming on the stage. Yeah.
please make sure you subscribe to our podcast, Growing Up Rock, and leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a like and leave us a comment on Facebook at Growing Up Rock.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.